Well, a very good evening, and I thank God for this opportunity that I can share my testimony with all of you. The Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15:10 that by the grace of God, I am what I am. And as I look back and reflect on the short 30 years of my life, well, there can be no other explanation than the fact that it is the grace of God. Only by the grace of God, I am what I am. Well, I was born into a Christian, Christian home. My family started attending church when I was about 2 or 3 years of age. My father had been posted to work in Holland for 3 years. And during that time, one of his colleagues brought him to church, and so they started attending. Well, the very first recollection that I have of church was not so much of church itself, but more of perhaps running away from church. I was apparently supposed to go for Sunday school, but I didn't quite like it. And so one of the older boys took me out and led me down the street and helped me pick acorns along the street. And that is my earliest recollection from what I can recall of what church was all about. And so a few years later, we got posted. My family came back to Singapore. That was around the end of 1989. Apparently, the story goes, this is not from my memory, but what my parents have told me. They were initially introduced to Life BP Church. That was where the person who brought my parents to church came from, and so we went there. But apparently, on that first Sunday that we were there, me and my brother were not quite pleased because there was no air conditioning in the sanctuary. And so we complained. That was not the only reason. Well, what we heard then was that we were introduced to Calvary Pandan, a nicer sanctuary. It also was closer to where we were staying at that point of time. And this is my own guessing, but my parents found this place more suitable, not just because of the aircon, but they liked it here. And so we settled it here from about the end of 1989. I don't remember all these things. But again, my first recollection of this church, of Calvary Pandan, was again not a very positive one. My first recollection, if I can recall correctly, was my first day of kindergarten. So I was about 6 by that time. 1990, I was in kindergarten 2, K2. And so that was the first time I was sent to this kindergarten. And my earliest recollection was in the arms of my teacher, kicking and screaming, crying, because I didn't want to be there. I wanted to go home. And so I remember that scene pretty vividly. And that's probably the earliest recollection I have of this church. Well, as time went by, we settled in. I attended CPK, Calvary Pandan Kindergarten, for a year. And well, then after, we attended every Sunday. And so I grew up in this church. Went through the Sunday school, went through the teens classes, and well, looking back, I don't think I was that good a student as well. Some of the teachers who taught me, they're still here, and perhaps they can share more about how I was like as a student. But from what I recall, I wasn't a very pleasant student to teach. I was quite a smart aleck. I used to think that I know it all. I know all the answers. I didn't always answer the questions, but I only answered them when it made me feel like I was clever or I could say something perhaps semi-amusing. I was rather socially awkward as well. And I used to think that I was quite the model student. But of course, that was what I thought of myself, and I'm sure the impression that I gave was a lot different. But nonetheless, growing up, I got very used to this church. It was pretty much like a second home to me. Attended the VBS, attended the church camps. Attended the JW camps, the children's camps. And I got very comfortable and familiar with the church. But there was one big problem. And that is something that I only realized years later, is that I was never truly saved. Well, not personally. Every time the teacher asks, if you want to receive the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart, every time they ask, now, how many of you believe in Christ? I will always raise my hand. Because in my mind, Jesus is true. I never doubted the existence of God, of Jesus Christ. From very earliest age, I was taught to memorize John 3:16 and so many other verses. To me, yes, I believe. I did consider myself a Christian. And so whenever the teachers asked, I always just raised my hand and assumed that, yes, I was a believer. They asked me the questions, I could give the right answers. But I was not saved. This is something that I only came to realize when I was 15, sometime in the middle of my secondary 3 year. As I said, I have been going through kindergarten, going through Sunday school, going through teens classes, always answered everything in the affirmative. I thought I knew the Bible pretty well, but it was just head knowledge, no heart knowledge. And the crux really came when I was in Sec 3, one of the first few times that I attended the youth fellowship. I used to play soccer with some of the boys on a Saturday morning, with some of the older, you know, guys in YF. And so one Saturday, I just thought to myself, well, since I joined them for soccer, well, I must as well maybe see what, you know, goes on in the evening, because I know that they met in the evening as well. And so some of my friends of my age, some even younger, they were attending YF at that point of time. And so I thought to join. And so I just told my mom, I think I want to go to YF tonight. And so she brought me. But again, my first recollection of what YF was like was, I could not remember the message. I remember nothing about anything. I just remember sitting there extremely self-conscious, because the attire that I had that Saturday morning was pretty much the same attire that I wore to YF that evening. Well, just shorts and a t-shirt. And I looked around and, hey, people were dressed quite differently. And so the entire first YF that I was there, I just sat there looking at my shorts and wondering if people were judging me. And so that was how I was. It's quite socially awkward, quite self-conscious. I mean, these things stem from a rather proud heart. But somehow I stayed around. I continued to attend. And I remember that, well, a couple of weeks or maybe months later, the message was on quiet time. It was a message by Elder Chu, or then he was Deacon Chu. And so he spoke on the importance of quiet time. And as I sat then, as he listened, he was talking about this, you know, idea of reading the Bible every day, of praying, of having a relationship with God. And as I sat there, I was suddenly struck with the realization that these things were all foreign to me. I had no relationship with God. I had no inclination, or I had never ever desired to read the Bible for myself. What I knew of the Bible was, well, what I received from the weekly Sunday school classes and later the teens classes, the camps. But I never really picked up the Bible to read it for myself, because I never really realized that there was such thing as a relationship to be had with God. I mean, sure, these things were told to me, but it just didn't get in. The Holy Spirit had not worked in my heart yet, up to this point of time. And so for the first time after, you know, after leaving YF that evening, for the first time in my life, I went home, I took the Bible off my shelf, and I started reading. I prayed, perhaps for real, for the first time. I repented of my sins, and I believe that that was when I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, that was when I was born again. And so I thank God for that. From then on, I was saved. But of course, you know, the journey was not as smooth even then. I was still that rebellious, petulant boy. I was not all that well behaved. I continued on as well the way I was. Maybe there were minor changes, but well, the Lord still had a lot to do in me to mold me and to shape me to be in the image of Christ. And so I carried on as perhaps a regular teenager. I continued to attend. Well, I started to serve a little bit more in church, joining a teens committee, and later on being more active in the YF. And I thank God for all these times, years of growing, years where the Lord molded me. Perhaps the first thought or first memory of full-time service, or this whole idea or concept of full-time service, was maybe about a year later. Definitely this was not a call yet, but it was just the idea that, hey, you know, full-time people, or, you know, pastors, they came from people like us. I remember it was after a jog with some of the YFers, some of the teens, and we were just sitting around talking. And so one of the And one of my friends, they just, I cannot remember what the conversation was about, but he started saying, talking about calling. And he, you know, quite boldly declared, yes, if the Lord calls, we have to answer the call to full-time service. And so I sat there and I thought to myself, what is this whole thing about calling? And perhaps that was the first time I realized that a full-time pastor, you know, a servant of God, it came from someone who was not prior a full-time pastor. I mean, you don't think of these things when you're young, you see. You just assume that they've always been there and that's how they are. But of course, I forgot all these conversations and I carried on as a regular teenager. And there were years, of course, of backsliding when I entered into junior college. Looking back, those were not so good years. These were times that I really got caught up in the things of the world, in the pursuit of academia, not so much the studying itself, but rather the lofty dreams of what comes after junior college of, you know, going to study and getting your degrees and things like that. I got caught up in a relationship as well, not a very good one. And I was also very caught up in my CCA at that point of time, and so I spent a lot of time outside church. And so those were years I felt which I really drifted away from the Lord. And that happened all the way until perhaps the second year of my army, national service. So after junior college, I enlisted, and that would have been about 2004. So it's actually not too long ago. So about the second year of my army, that was the time where I felt that I was being brought back closer to the Lord. That relationship had ended, and now I finished with my training phase of army, and so I was posted to a unit, and I was perhaps a bit more free. I had a certain amount of free time on my hands, and so I began to read. I began to read Christian literature. I began to read Christian biographies. I began to read the Bible again, regularly. And I thank God for those times. It was times which I realized that a lot of areas in my life needed working on. A lot of areas in my life had not been healthy and not been good. And so I thank God for Him who drew me back to Himself during that period of time. And so that year in June in 2004, I went for the church camp, and that was the first time in many years that I was able to go. Before that, there was, you know, school, CCA, and all these other things. Of course, not good reasons, but, well, I just hadn't been going. And so I still remember in that church camp, it was 2004, I believe we had it at Sunway Lagoon. That was a campsite. And the morning messages was on Hebrews 11, on faith. And many of those messages resonated with me and struck me, taught me, struck me deeply. But what really impacted me that camp was one of the night messages where our senior pastor, Dr. Toh, was speaking. And, you know, as he had been doing many, many times, he began to issue the call, saying, young man, you must rise up and serve the Lord. Young man, heed the call. Give your life to full-time service. Again, prior to that, my thinking was always that, you know, these young men, so-called, they are always other people. Or more, maybe older people, maybe people in their 30s and 40s when they're old enough to, well, do these sort of things. I never thought or I never expected that young men could refer to someone like me. But somehow during the camp, as that message was repeated, as that call came, it felt that, or rather the inkling came to me that, maybe it is me. Maybe I am the one which God wants to call. But of course, as soon as these thoughts came in, many other thoughts came into me as well to say that, nah, that's ridiculous. That's a crazy notion. That's, just totally nothing, something that I will never dream or imagine myself to be doing. And prior to that, I never had any inclination or any thought of becoming a pastor or serving the Lord in such a capacity. But somehow that thought stuck. On the way back from camp, I remember sitting on the bus and, you know, all these thoughts were just running through my head, round and round and round. But, well, I could have, at that point of time, just dismissed it, and I did, thinking that, well, it's just a moment of passion, it's just a momentary thing, it probably will fade in time. But it didn't. And so when I realized that the Lord calls, He spoke to me through His Word. And so over the next few months, as I continued on in my routine, as I went to the army and as I did all the things that I was doing, I continued to study God's Word, I continued to read God's Word. And what happened was that He began to speak to me through His Word. Now, one of the first, you can say perhaps, questions or first thoughts that came to me as I considered this whole idea of serving the Lord in a full-time ministry was that I was terrified of public speaking. I was really not a person who did well in front of crowds or in front of a group. I still remember in the times, you know, in school, you know, every time the teacher asked for discussion or any, you know, for us to say things, sometimes I'll sit there and I'll think, yeah, I have this thought in my head, right? It sounds very nicely crafted up. But then the moment I raise my hand, I just cannot come out. I will begin my sentence and I just forget everything, right? Nothing flows, nothing is coherent, and it's just this jumble of words, and then very embarrassed, I just sit down and shut up. I never like to speak. In fact, I was always, and I still am, a very shy person. And so I really couldn't imagine myself doing something like this, right? Standing and talking for a whole hour and people just looking at me. I was terrified of that thought. But then as I read God's Word, the passage that we read just now came to me. Exodus chapter 4. And what I read was that, hey, Moses had the same problem as well. In verse 10 he says, And Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore, not before, not since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am of a slow of speech and of a slow tongue. And I read that and I said, hey, that's me. I am not eloquent. I can't speak. I can't express myself well. But then the Lord's reply came, so sharp, so piercing. And the Lord said unto him, Who hath made man's mouth? Or who maketh the dumb, or the deaf, or the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? And so clear, isn't it? God says, well, I am the one. I am the one who chooses to make you deaf or dumb, or helps you to speak. And so he told Moses, Now therefore go, and I'll be with thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say. And so the first question or the first reply came, where the Lord says, well, you go. I will be the one guiding you as to what you will say. And then the second perhaps major hindrance or the second huge concern that I had in my life was really with regards to my testimony, my life, my sin. I knew myself and I knew people knew me as well. And the impression that I was giving people, certainly not one befitting of a person called to the Lord's ministry. I was, well, just a regular teenager. I was, well, you know, involved in this and that sin. I was by no means a testimony or an example at all. And I knew that, you know, if I was to be called and I was to be serving the Lord, many things in my life would have to change. So many blemishes. Well, sure, I mean, of course, the Lord was working my life at the point of time and I was learning things and I was, you know, by God's grace, changing in this and that way. But I know I still had such a long way to go. But again, the Lord spoke to me through His Word. Isaiah chapter 6 was then the next passage that came to me as I considered the call of Isaiah. And as I read this account, I realized, hey, he also had somewhat a similar concern. As he was given this vision of the throne room of God, he stood there, and then there were these angels, the seraphims with six wings, with two covering the eyes, the hands, and the feet. And then they cried one to another, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. And as he considered this image and the glory of the Lord before him, Isaiah said, Then said I, Woe is me! I am undone because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. He was very conscious and aware of his own sin and the fact that he cannot stand before the living God. Similar sentiments that I had as well. How can I serve? I need clean hands and a pure heart, but I was such a sinner. And again, the reply came in God's Word. Then the verse continues in verse 6. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar, and he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, This hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. And then I realized, it is not about my goodness. It is not about how good I am and how disciplined I can be with my life. It is really the grace of God. It is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that has washed our sins away. Yes, by ourselves, we are all unworthy vessels, but only as through the purging of God, He has cleansed us from my sin. And as I read on, verse 8 said, Then also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Again, loud and clear, God's word spoke to me. Who shall I send? Who will go for us? At that point of time, Isaiah's reply was, Here am I, send me. But I was yet not so sure. Could I really, with full conviction, say also, Here am I, Lord, send me? And so these were just two examples of the times in which the word God spoke to me and really answered my questions, answered my doubts, and took away all these hindrances that were preventing me from truly, with a sincere heart, saying, Yes, God send me. And so God spoke through His word. But as I continued to pray and wait upon the Lord also guided me through His servants. Through His servants. And so a couple of months later, I was listening to another YF message. This time, for some reason or other, I did not attend the message. I cannot remember why. Perhaps it was due to some army commitment. And so in those days, we used to record the messages in cassette tapes. So I very much wanted to hear this series of messages. I believe it was on the life of the Apostle Paul, Paul's missionary journeys. I borrowed the cassette tapes, and then I realized that the cassette tape at home wasn't working. So I had to go and buy a cassette player. It was kind of phasing out at the point of time, so it was a bit difficult to find. But nonetheless, I found the cassette tape, and so I started to listen. And, you know, what struck me at that point of time was a message about submitting to the will of God. And so halfway through the message, he actually began to sing. And the song, the lyrics of the song went like this: Let the Lord have His way in your life every day. There is no rest, there's no peace until the Lord has His way. Place your life in His hand, rest secure in His plan. Let the Lord have His way. And as I heard these words, I could only stop the cassette at the point of time, and I just sunk my head into my pillow and I just wept. Because I realized that this is how I must proceed. I must let the Lord have His way. There's no rest, there's no peace until the Lord will have His way. And so I was still very uncertain. I knew that something is happening, is just not normal, is something that I've never experienced before. But I could not quite put a finger on it. What was happening? What did the Lord want me to do? And so that afternoon, it was a Saturday, I remember I went early to church. I went to Tabernacle Book Room. I started to look for books concerning what does it mean to be called to the full-time ministry. I also started to search online. Just Google, call to full-time ministry, full-time servant testimony, pastor testimony, these sort of things. And I began to read. What does it mean to be called? How do I know? How can I ascertain? So I really continued to wait upon the Lord and prayed. And finally, I guess the what you call the straw that broke the camel's back, the final thing which led me to be certain was an occasion very much like this. This was now 2005, about the early part of 2005, so well, nearly 10 years ago, 9 years ago. And during that few months, the Sunset Gospel Hour ran a series of messages just like this. I think Dr. Toh was going through a series on footprints in the sand, and there was also a couple of weeks where other pastors would come and share their testimonies. I think it was in March 2005. Reverend Quek was the one sharing his testimony. And it was not too different from what he shared with us last Sunday. Well, the testimony of his call, of his salvation, his call, and his ministry. But as I sat there and as I listened to that message, you know, over 9 years ago, many of the things that he said resonated with my heart. I realized that the things that he shared about and the experiences that he was going through when he was considering his call was very much the feelings, the sort of desires and the sort of messages that I was receiving as well. To add to that, I remember that the choir was also singing that Sunday. As to which choir exactly, I cannot remember. From what I recall, I think it was the FEBC choir, but my wife says it was the church choir. I really cannot remember. But they sang the hymn, Channels Only. That's the hymn that we sang just now. And, you know, as they sang and as I read the lyrics of the song, the second stanza in particular stood out to me. Empty that thou shouldest fill me a clean vessel in thy hand, with no power as thou givest graciously with each command. And again, these words rang very clearly to me, that I'm nothing but a vessel in the hand of God. He has to empty me, I have to be clean, and then He can be able to use me. Do I want to be that vessel? And very much so I did. I wanted to serve the Lord. I just needed to be sure if He was really calling me to the full-time ministry. And so, after that choir presentation, after the whole message, I was certain, I was sure that yes, I am being called. And that was the final time, that was the time when I finally submitted to the Lord and I made the prayer at the end of the sermon. Say, yes, Lord, I acknowledge that You are calling me and I will go, I will serve You. But there were still many barriers to overcome, even after that prayer. And so, well, I knew in my heart, I was now certain. But how was I to tell anyone else? Because at that point of time, there were very, very few people that I actually told. So the first person I called was Pastor Reverend Quek. I arranged to meet him and said, well, I think I'm being called to the full-time ministry. What should I do? Well, the meeting didn't last very long because the first thing he asked me, have you asked your parents? Have you told your parents? And I said, no. Then he said, well, you talk to your parents first. And I think that was very wise. Because to me, actually, that was the hardest barrier to cross. I found it easy to tell many people, but my parents? Why? It's not that I was not close to them, but it's because I knew that they knew me very well. They knew me exactly of who I was. They knew me with all my sin, all my rebellion, all my rebelliousness. They knew how many times they caught me, you know, playing computer games late into the night when I shouldn't be. And that was not distant past, it was recent history. They knew how many times they had to confiscate my keyboard because I was, you know, playing and not doing work as I claimed to be doing. They knew how many times I then stole that keyboard back and then played when I was not supposed to. They knew what sort of person I was. They knew how disinterested I was in studying and academics and how, you know, what sort of attitude I had towards all these things, how irresponsible. They knew me inside out. And then suddenly I was to tell them that I think I'm going to serve God full time. I just did not know how to get it out. But Pastor's word was true. I mean, how can I just go and make a decision such like that, you know, like that without, you know, my parents' blessing? And so I prayed and I had to pluck up my courage. And one day I finally went into their room, sat down and said, well, I think I want to go to FEBC. I think I want to go into the full-time ministry. Well, I thank God that they were very supportive. Of course, there was a lot of initial, you can say, perhaps skepticism. Not so much that they didn't want me to go, but they looked at me and they knew me, I guess. And they were very concerned. Not so much that they wanted me to do other things, but more that I had to be very certain, very, very sure that this is really a calling from God. Because it was, I mean, they were concerned that this was just a momentary, you know, heat of passion sort of thing, and then, you know, just die away. And so they told me to wait, to pray, to consider, to think more about it. And I guess also to give them some time to let it sink in as well. Because I'm sure it would have come as a shock to them as well. I mean, that's what I think. Maybe that's why my dad chose that opening hymn, God Moves in Mysterious Ways. But nonetheless, I continued to wait upon the Lord. Two particular incidences that happened after that struck in my mind. And so I was given this so-called assignment and task, right? To really be certain, to ascertain that this is really a true calling. And so I began to talk to more people. I asked around. I asked other pastors. I talked to other, you know, FEBC students that I knew. And well, they gave me all sorts of advice, and I, how can I listen to them? But I guess the final confirmation to me really came through various circumstances that the Lord put me through. Right? And so as much as He guides me through His servants, when God calls, He also leads through different circumstances that happened in my life. And so fast forward to May 2005, that was when that was very shortly before the semester was to start in July. I was still not certain. Should I really go to FEBC now, or should I, you know, go to the university, finish my degree, and then consider full-time ministry? So that was, you know, hosted at a point of time, the FCM camp, the Fundamental Christian Ministry camp. And so, well, I thought, I'm headed to some tertiary or other after this, and so I went. But at the point of time, I was still very uncertain. I did not know if I was going to FEBC at the point of time. And so I told everyone that I was headed to NUS. I mean, I had a place there. And so I told everyone, yeah, I'm going to NUS. And so I joined their group. And I still remember on the Tuesday of that camp, it was prayer meeting. We joined, we are at Calvary Tengah for the camp. And so we joined in for their prayer meeting. And, you know, in our prayer meeting, from time to time, we always have song choices, right? So as I said that, I thought to myself, now, if they were to ask for a song choice, I would like to sing Channels Only. I'd like to sing Hymn 245. And so I sat and I waited. First hymn, second hymn, no choice yet. Third hymn, a bit disappointed. And then he chose the final hymn. I remember Elder Sia was chairing that evening, and he chose 245. Oh. So, well, that was one thing. And so I was very happy. We sang, and that was it. And then that same evening, after the prayer meeting, we had in the guys' dorm a sort of men's guys' fellowship. And so the thing that we were supposed to share about that evening was that we were to choose a hymn and then share why we chose it, and then we'll sing it together. Right? That was the sort of sharing that we were supposed to do. And so I thought, well, I mean, since we sang hymn 245, I mean, that we don't want to sing again. Another hymn that was very much fresh in my mind throughout this whole period as I was trying to discern God's will was the hymn, Let Me Burn Out for Thee, Dear Lord. Now, I never heard that song outside in church. The only time I heard it was in a CD that I was playing in my car during this point of time. So I knew of the song, but I didn't know that it was actually in our books. And so we were using this fellowship hymnal, Then Sings My Soul. I was quite unfamiliar with the book, and so and I had just this thought, why, how nice if this song was there. But I didn't quite know the title of it. I searched for Burnout for Thee, couldn't find it. Then I thought, well, let's just search for some other song. And then, towards the end of that session, one other brother chose this song. He knew the title, and then he turned to it and said, hey, again, it cannot be a coincidence. And I realized that through this, I mean, looking back, the Lord was confirming His call. And these two songs continued to be so meaningful to me throughout my subsequent years of ministry. Channels Only, it was a hymn to remind me of my sinful state, to remind me of my pride that I was really just a channel for the Lord. Let Me Burn Out for Thee, this was a very powerful, meaningful hymn that reminded me of my laziness, and well, it was really a promise that I wanted to make, that I would serve the Lord with all my heart. And so after that camp, I was, well, a lot more certain. Church camp came, and then I again went into the camp with a heart of prayer, really wanting to discern God's will, and again He confirmed it. Through the messages, time and again, the call was repeated, reiterated, and I came out there with the confidence to know, yes, God has called me, and I must delay no further. And so in July 2005, I enrolled into Far Eastern Bible College. And so that was about 9 years ago. 4 years in FEBC really just went by so fast. I thank God for the time that I was there. I thank God for my family, who was extremely supportive of me throughout my years of study. And really, I mean, for the first time in my life, I really enjoyed what I was studying. I really wanted for the first time to study hard, to work hard. But it was really the first time which I really felt stress of this student life. Well, not to say that, prior to that, schooling life wasn't hard. It's not that it was not hard, it was that I was not so interested. And so you see, even though the work is difficult, if you don't care, well, then it's not so stressful, isn't it? But, well, FEBC was intense. It was really the hardest that I ever worked in my life up to that point of time. Before that, I was just this lazy, uninterested student. Well, I thank God for those years, and it really prepared me academically. I still remember one of the evenings, and after a Tuesday night prayer meeting, I was driving back to FEBC, and I was just thinking through so many things that had to be done, so many assignments, so many quizzes, tests coming up, and I really felt that I was in so deep. I mean, how could I get through this semester? I was feeling so sorry, and I was pitying myself. And then that song came up again, the CD that was playing, "Let me burn out for thee, dear Lord, burn and wear out for thee. Don't let me rust or my life be a failure, my God, to thee." And so as these words came back, I remember my call and remembered how I promised to serve the Lord. And well, this was what I was in for. I thank God for those years of FEBC, and it trained me well. But really, it was, a lot of it was training the mind, training me in my studies. But after coming out of FEBC, I thought I was ready. I thought, yeah, I'm now going to serve the Lord. I'm prepared. But the Lord had another plan for me. One month after I graduated, I just sort of assumed that, well, this is my church and I'll just continue serving here. Little did I know that the Lord will have a plan to send me over to Perth. I was away at the point of time, and so I got a message, "Please call Dr. Toh." Called him and he said, "Well, you consider Perth." Wow, that was really something I never considered, never thought of before. But somehow the arrangements were made. And what initially started out as a 3-month stint, it became about slightly more than 2 years. And I thank God for that time as well, where through the time that I spent there, the Lord was training me, molding me. And I thank God also for the patience of the congregation over at BPCWA. They were very patient with me. I was fresh out of Bible college, a young boy, and they accepted me, they took me in, and they allowed me to preach to them. And so I was granted this opportunity to serve and train in that church. And, I learned a lot from my time there, in the wonderful fellowship, learned from them and their zeal for evangelism, for prayer. And it was a very good 2 years. But the calling of the Lord was that I would come back. Well, really, to cut a long story short, it's not such a long story really, but time is running. In 2011, I came back to Singapore at the end of 2011. I got married to my wife, and from then on, I've been here. So 2011 to now is just slightly less than 3 years that I've been serving the Lord here in Calvary Pandan. And again, I thank the Lord for this opportunity of service here. The Lord continues to mold me, to guide me, to shape me, because I still acknowledge there are many, many things that I still have to learn. Right? What I had at FEBC was really just the foundation, the very beginning. I received some practical experience and training while I was in Perth, and I continue to learn. Well, as I read at the very beginning, the Apostle Paul says, "By the grace of God, I am what I am." And the verse continues to say, "But his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God that was in me." Now, of course, I feel at this point of time, I'm not ready to say those words, to be able to proudly proclaim that I labored more abundantly. No, there is still so much more for me to do. There is so much more for me to learn, so much more to go before I can honestly say that I am laboring abundantly. But yet this then becomes my prayer. A prayer to say that the Lord will continue to use me to labor for Him by His grace, and to be able to say at the end of it that, yes, it is not I, but the grace of God that is in me. And so I thank God for the call. I thank God for guiding me in the past 10 years of my life from the first inkling of the call until where I am now. But really, my journey is only beginning. There are many more years, God willing, for me to serve Him. And I just pray that the Lord will be able to use me in whatsoever way He can. Let's turn to the Lord in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank Thee for this evening. We thank thee for who thou art, the great God. Thou hast saved us, thou hast sent thy only begotten Son to die for our sins, and thou hast called us, each of us, into our own area of service. I thank thee also, Lord, for the way in which thou hast led me over the past 10 years. Lord, I pray that thou continue to guide me, to use me, to mold me into the person that you want me to be. I thank thee for this evening. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.